Chapter 3, The Wise Men and Their Gifts. It was one of the laws of Moses that whenever the first baby in the home was a boy, the mother should present him to the Lord and offer him for the Lord's own service. So when Jesus was 6 weeks old, Mary and Joseph went to the temple at Jerusalem, taking the child Jesus with them. Here an offering was made for him according to the law of the Jews. If the parents were able, the offering was a lamb. If they were poor, they were allowed to bring a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time there was living in the city of Jerusalem an old man whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him that he should not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ, who had been promised as the Savior of mankind since the days of Adam and Eve. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart, Lord, according to thy word, in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And his father and his mother were marveling at the things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the falling and the rising up of many in Israel, and for a sign which is spoken against. Yea, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed." Just as Simeon finished speaking these words, which Mary wondered about, and which were added to those she had already hid in her heart, a prophetess, an aged, devout, and holy woman named Anna, came in that part of the temple where Joseph and Mary were. When this woman came where the child was, she knew at once that the babe was Jesus, the Son of God. She gave thanks unto God, and then went among the people and told those who had been looking for the coming of a Savior for their people at this time that the baby Jesus was the long-promised Redeemer. Another wonderful event in the early life of the child Jesus gave Mary still more mysterious problems to lay away in her heart, ponder over, and perhaps never solve. Every little child has learned at the knee of his loving Christian mother the story of the manger cradle in Bethlehem, and of the wise men who saw his star in their homes in faraway Persia and came to worship the child. As he grew older, each child has learned the same story from poet and artist over and over and over again. But does it ever grow old? Does the boy with the wandering foot or the hero-worshipping heart ever grow tired of hearing about the men who wanted to go westward, or the sages who were happy to spend their lives as dreamers, astrologers, and astronomers? How men have loved the stars, clear back from the beginning. God himself must have loved his great star-spangled dome, for when he wanted to talk with his children of old, he brought them forth abroad. The study of the plants to the botanist is a passionate pastime. To the study of a science, every lad knows that the lover of that science is willing to sacrifice food and raiment, time and talent. In those far-off days and in that far-off land, there were men who were giving their lives to the study of the stars. They were poets, philosophers, dreamers, but not scientists. But they were just such men as we love, ready to give their lives for what they believed to be true. And the wise men saw in the sky a wonderful sight. They had been hoping to see what they saw. Daniel had lived in their country, and he had foretold many things over which the sages had studied as the centuries went by. The corrupt age had reached its seeming limit. Good men had lifted up holy hands, asking for some power to cleanse the world. Always the astrologers had thought the heavens would make a new sign when a great man was to be born, when a deliverer of a people should come into the world. These Eastern sages had long thought that the Hebrew people, who once were captives in their midst, were to receive a blessing from the god they worshipped. Perhaps now that they were slaves to the Roman power, their god had planned to send one to deliver them from the Roman yoke of bondage. It is interesting to know about the wise men, the Magi, that they should have seen that strange star and followed it month after month from the far east clear to Jerusalem, and have gone to the Roman king Herod and asked about the birth of the all-powerful, must have made the haughty Roman eagle that hung everywhere in the city of Jerusalem look like a mockery to Herod. These wise men were men with a purpose. We like them. Boys like such men. Girls honor them. What did they care for wild beasts, for cold, hunger, thirst, or danger? They came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and are come to worship him." Just think of it. That is what they said to King Herod. We do not wonder that when King Herod heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod had been hearing rumors about the song of the angels on that first Christmas night. Peace on earth was a strange song in Herod's ears. There had been statements made of what the shepherds saw as a sign from God. What Simeon had said had been told in the temple, and the story of Anna the prophetess gained credence among the worshippers. Herod heard the rumors. They made him uncomfortable. They were nothing he could kill or could fight. But here was a chance to corner them. So he gathered together all the chief priests and scribes of the people and inquired of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written through the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, land of Judah, art in no wise least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth a governor, who shall be shepherd of my people Israel.'" Herod was very much pleased to get this information from the chief priests and those who knew best what was in the sacred books of the Hebrew people. We who today know the character of this wicked monster understand why he was glad to know where the child was to be born. The chief priests and scribes so abhorred King Herod, a descendant of the despised Ishmael and the hated Esau, that they would have refused to give this information to him, but they dared not. And so, having learned the expected birthplace of the Messiah, Herod sent for the wise men and questioned them about the child. Then he bid them hasten away, but when they had found the child, return and tell him where he was, so that he too could go and do him honor. The wise men started again on their journey, and strange to relate, the star which they saw when at their home in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It was very easy when once in Bethlehem for them to find the child, for all the people were talking about him and the wonderful things which had happened. They came into the house where Mary and Joseph and the child were staying, perhaps with some of their kinsmen. These wise men saw the child. They thought of their books, their studies, the star, of their long, long journey, and they looked at each other and at the child. With one accord, they prostrated themselves before the infant, as was their wont to prostrate themselves before a king. They opened their caskets of treasures and offered to the little one gifts, such as a king would not disdain, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These men, whoever they were, from wherever they came, were shrewd wise men, for they struck quickly the path back over the desert to their country and made no farewell visit to King Herod. Now the king shows his true feelings regarding this little child-born king of the Jews. What matter a few more murders to this man of a low, wicked ambition and a mean jealousy? His whole life was scarlet with murders and too vile to be placed on record. He had ordered put to death priests and noblemen of the council, drowned his own brother-in-law, the high priest Aristobulus, strangled the only woman he ever loved, his wife Mariamne. His sons he murdered, his uncle, his father-in-law, his friends, old and young, if he so decreed. None escape death in some horrible form. Tortures untold and acts inhuman marked the whole pathway of this man, who now devised an act so cruel, so fiendish, so much more horrible than the most horrible things he had ever done, that Satan himself must have squat by his ear like a toad and whispered it. He was exceeding wroth when he saw that the wise men had mocked him, and he sent forth and slew all the male children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the borders thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had carefully learned of the wise men. And, the Bible says, then was filled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be comforted because they were not. The child who was visited by the wise men was not in Bethlehem when Herod's soldiers came to do their murderous task. Joseph had a great responsibility in his heart and hands. He was a dreamer and a most sensible, practical man as well. The very night the wise men left for the east, Joseph, the young child, and his mother started on a long journey into Egypt, for the wise men had, with their gift of gold, provided for the flight of Joseph, the loving mother, and the tiny child.